Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, it's so nice having you join us as we gather once again for our time together for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Today, we're continuing our look at John's Gospel, Chapter 1. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, as always, as Rich said, we're so happy to be here and to have you sitting in on our conversation with Pastor Joe. We pray that this talk about God and His Word, the Bible, will be just what you need to keep your focus on the Lord and to bless your day. And of course, we're here with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Always great to be with you and our listeners as we study the Word together.
Amen. Now, as we take another look into the Bible, as promised, but let me just quickly mention, if you missed the first one or any of our programs, or would like to listen again, no worries. Just go to our website at firstloveradio.org. That's O-R-G. Scroll down to the picture that says Bible Talk. Tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our broadcasts.
Yes. And as mentioned, we're looking at the Gospel according to John, and in particular, the first chapter. So let's pick up where we left off, moving down to verse 5. Verse 5 concludes by saying, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it."
Now, Pastor Joe, in what ways does darkness either fail to understand or to actively resist the light of Christ in our own lives and in the world around us?
Well, God frequently, in the Gospel of John, as well as in the book of 1 John that the Apostle John wrote, both of these books, light and darkness is a recurring theme. It is one of the five major themes in the Gospel of John. And in the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, which we call the prologue or the introduction to the rest of the Gospel of John, all of the major themes throughout the Gospel are found in the introduction. And of course, one of those is light and darkness, or light versus darkness. And that's why it's brought up here in verse 5. And darkness represents sin, it represents ignorance, it represents deception, it represents spiritual blindness, it represents alienation from God. And so a person who is in darkness or who walks in darkness and lives in darkness means that they don't have spiritual understanding, they don't have any clue, many of them, about who God is and the way to heaven. And very often people like this are prejudiced against Christ and against Christians and against the gospel. And they will resist and be hostile to the light. The light of Christ is everything that Christ represents, including the message of salvation, the gospel. Mm. And when people hear the gospel, being in darkness, and the light of the gospel shines into their minds, that is, when they hear the word of God coming into their minds in terms of the message of salvation, it's a metaphor, it's a symbol of light coming into darkness. And because darkness and light are diametrically opposed to one another, when the message of the gospel comes into people's minds, they not only cannot understand it, but they get a sense that what the message is saying is that they are being condemned because of their sin, and that they need to repent and to trust in Jesus Christ and to turn their entire life over to Him. And they don't want to do that because they're slaves of sin. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. And they hate everything that is from God, including the message of salvation, which will always expose their wickedness and their evil and their sin. And so this is what this means when it says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." The word comprehend in this statement not only means they don't understand the message of the gospel, which requires the light of God's truth, which we talked about in the previous verse, to shine in and provide them with understanding. But the word comprehend in terms of not comprehending the light can also include persecution against Christians. It includes a reaction of negativity and hatefulness from people who are walking in darkness to the light of God's gospel and the kingdom of God.
Yes, as you say, it's defensive too, very defensive, because as you say, it shines the light on them in their darkness.
It exposes their sin, because it says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Mm-hmm. And in Ephesians, we read that we are dead in trespasses and sins before our conversion. And so our lifestyle and everything we are by nature is antithetical or opposite the kingdom of God. And everything that is related to the truth and the kingdom of God and the nature of God himself is opposed to sin and to darkness. And that is why there's this tension between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of sin and the devil, because you will never have a marriage between light and darkness. By nature, endemically, they are opposed to one another.
Mm-hmm. Now, in verses 6 and 7, the passage goes on to talk about John the Baptist as being a witness to the light. Pastor Joe, I wonder if you could read those verses for us, 6 and 7.
Sure. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe.
Now, aren't we, as children of God, all called to also be witnesses to the light of Christ?
Oh, absolutely. John the Baptist is singled out here because he was born and created to be a very special, unique witness of the first advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2,000 years ago. And it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So God sent John the Baptist. This is not the Apostle John who is being referred to here. The author,
right,
the Apostle John, is referring to John the Baptist, who was chosen by God, and it was prophesied in the Old Testament, I think in the book of Isaiah, to come as the forerunner before Jesus launched his public ministry, to be a witness and to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that voice crying in the wilderness. It says in verse 7 that he came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So John the Baptist had a very noble and important ministry to prepare the world, particularly in Palestine at that time, in Jerusalem and in the surrounding region, the Jews there, for the coming of the Messiah. So John the Baptist for years preached the coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus came and John the Baptist saw him, he called over two of his disciples and said, "You need to follow Jesus now. He must increase and I must decrease." So John the Baptist came as a witness of Jesus Christ and prepared the way. John had a message of repentance, but Jesus completed that message of repentance by proclaiming the message of salvation through faith in himself. And so both John and the Lord Jesus Christ worked as a witnessing team to prepare the world over the last 2,000 years for the full-orbed, beautiful, burning light of the gospel message of salvation. And in like manner, we also join the team of the Lord Jesus himself as a witness and John the Baptist. We are identified with very good company here as fellow witnesses of the gospel message with John and our great Lord, who actually is our example and our teacher in educating us how to witness, how to share the gospel, in giving us a good example in his lifestyle and his character of how to back up our gospel message as Christians with being good examples. He says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Matthew 5, that's a direct quote in verse 16 from Jesus concerning having our light shine not only with the spoken word of the gospel shared with unsaved people, but also that they may see our good works, that is the good works of our godly character and the good works of serving others through labors and good works and helping them so that we can truly say that we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. We're to proclaim the gospel. We are given the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And yes, that is a very important element of our stewardship as Christians and our calling. Every Christian is called to share the gospel of Christ with unsaved people.
Amen. Yes. And, you know, I think that this is the more you read the Bible, the more you understand this concept, that this is what we're being called to do. But I often thought that that terminology might be difficult for a new Christian or somebody who hadn't been to church much or hadn't read the Bible much, because the word witness, you know, generally means like an eyewitness, like you have seen something. And this is apparent for the apostles that they did see something. They saw Jesus. They lived with him. So they could be witnesses to having seen and lived with Jesus and everything he taught. But we haven't been with him. I mean, not in the flesh, but we are called to be witnesses. And I think that in Christianese or how we use it in churches and how the Bible actually means it is actually as a verb. That witnessing is something that we do and not just being someone who is an eyewitness to an event.
Well, although John the Baptist was called to a unique ministry as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus and his ministry, he was in that role a special witness, an eyewitness who was called to prepare the way of the Lord. Also, the apostles as
right.
eyewitnesses of our Lord and his ministry were unique in that they lived with him for 3.5 years. They served with him. They learned under him and were discipled by Christ and witnessed in many ways to his authenticity and to everything he did and said, including his incarnation. That is, he came in the flesh. He was a real man. But the witnessing you're talking about that believers are responsible to engage in mm-hmm. is taking the gospel message, the plan of salvation, which describes how a person can go to heaven, how they can have their sins forgiven, how they can become born again, like the Bible teaches, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We are to take that message that explains to people how they can go to heaven, including the need to repent of their sins, that is to have a changed mind and lifestyle about their sin, confess that to God, confess their sin to God, repent of it, and believe in their hearts that Jesus is who he says he is, that he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and right now he is at the right hand of God the Father. They must believe that Christ will answer their prayers to be forgiven of their sins, and they don't need to see him or hear his voice. They believe in their heart the Bible's message that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And by believing in Christ's promise to save them, that whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved, they will be saved. God will save them, and he will send his Holy Spirit to also bring forth a witness in their heart, a clear testimony, a profound assurance, a knowledge that their sins are forgiven. They will have mm-hmm. a peace inside of them, which they never had before, which only a person who is saved can know that their sins are forgiven.
Yes, and doesn't Acts 1, verse 8 talk about this? And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then it says, and then you shall be my witnesses. So it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to go forth as his witnesses?
Yes, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do the work of evangelism or the work of explaining how to be saved to other people. We need the Word of God, the gospel, the message as taught in the Bible about Jesus and how a person can become saved. But we also need divine supernatural help from the Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside the minds and bodies of people who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and become changed from the inside out. And so Christians, true Christians, need the Word of God, the gospel message, but they also need the Holy Spirit to be able to empower them and strengthen them with courage, with boldness, with love, and with understanding of what the gospel message means so that they can explain it properly to the unsaved people that they are sharing it with.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Then we go down to verses 10 and 11 that say, He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Aren't these verses not only referring to Jesus' day, but also to all of mankind throughout the earth's existence?
Oh, absolutely. He physically was in the world, and even though he was the creator, you can't get more powerful than that. That the world was made by him and made through him, yet the creator became the creature. He came into this world in the person of God himself in the form of a human being. He occupied a human body. He had the nature of man and the divine nature of God. He was fully man and fully God. And as the creator, the people didn't know him. They could not recognize by looking at him that he was God in the flesh, and the promised Messiah by the prophets of the Old Testament. He even came to his own people, that is the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, that he was one of them in terms of his heritage. His physical, cultural heritage was as a Jew. He was born and raised in the Jewish community, the Jewish culture in Nazareth, and they did not recognize him in a massive way. Perhaps his father and mother recognized amazing things about him, but it says that even his brothers did not believe in him, and his sisters, his siblings, did not believe in him. So in a similar way, even though we do not have the physical presence of Jesus walking down in this world around in this creation, most people don't know him, spiritually speaking. He came unto his own, but his own didn't receive him. And so the message of the gospel that talks about salvation and the life and character and death and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and resurrection, that message has carried over and has rolled over to one generation after another. And most people, just like when Jesus was here in this world 2,000 years ago, they don't believe in him. And it takes faith. It takes faith,
yes,
to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe his word, which teaches us about him and his ministry, So Jesus himself said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He taught in his teachings in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Blessed are they that do not see yet believe. And he says an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, a physical sign, as a condition in order to believe. And Jesus said no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah, where Jonah's experience of being swallowed by the fish and being spit back out onto land is a metaphor of the gospel, where Jesus died and was buried and then came back out of the grave and rose again from the dead. And Jesus is saying that no sign will be given except the sign of Noah. What he's saying is, unless you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, you will not be saved. You have to believe that message in your heart, even though you don't have any proof, physically speaking, of the existence of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Even the people back then did not believe in him. Even his own people, the Jewish people, who some of them, the Pharisees, knew about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, they did not understand the prophecies of the coming Messiah and how they applied to Jesus Christ only, exclusively. And so they did not believe in him. And the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, and many of the people kept asking Jesus for physical proof, a sign from God, call down fire, do this, do that. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, that is, I am the Jehovah Elohim of Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the almighty El Shaddai creator of heaven and earth and the redeemer, you will die in your sin. You will not be saved. So we must receive salvation by grace, that is, as a free gift from God, not earning it by our works, by faith in Jesus Christ to save us.
Yes, and verses 12 and 13 talk about that. They give us that wonderful call of God to the wandering souls. Rich, your turn. Could you please read those verses for us, 12 and 13?
Sure. To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Wow. There's so much truth and hope packed into those lines. Pastor Joe, could you talk about this call of God's to receive him?
Well, God calls out every day through the message of hope in the gospel. That is the message of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And he beckons all people who are not Christians, who are not saved, to put their trust in Jesus Christ. Regardless of who you are, how old you are, your financial or educational status, your gender, the call goes out to all people of every race, of every background, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And when it says, as many as received him, to them mm-hmm. he gave the right to become the children of God. If you receive him, that is, if you put your faith in him, even though you can't see him with your eye, even though you've never heard him, you are coming into contact with him when the gospel, that is the word of God that you're hearing on a program like this, is heard by you. That means that God is speaking to you directly through his word, not through a voice or a vision, but through his word. And he's saying to you, like in Romans chapter 10, like a verse I'm going to share with you right now, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, my friend, if you're listening now and you're struggling, you've been wrestling with sin all your life, and you have no hope, and you've been looking for answers, you've turned to religion, you've turned to doing good deeds or works with your hands, and nothing has helped, you've only become worse and more grief and more conviction and more guilt heaped upon your head, more weight of guilt upon your shoulders, oh, I have good news for you. And that good news is in the gospel, the message we've been talking about on this program, and the message I'm closing with now. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he's listening to you, because he promises in the Bible, and he never lied once. There is no lie in God. Every promise he's ever made in the Bible, when a person believes that promise and holds God to that promise and won't give up in his faith until God answers, God always keeps his promise. And if you put your trust in Jesus, you put your life in his hands, you repent of your sin, every sin you can remember, confess it to God, repent of it, have a changed heart about it, tell God you never want to do that again, you can't go there anymore, you can't live like that anymore, and then turn to Christ and see him with your mind's eye by faith, as sitting on his throne, listening to every word you're sharing or you're saying to him, as if you were the only person in the whole world that he sees. He looks on you as an individual. He cares about you. The Bible says he loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son to die in the place of sinners, to be punished for your sin in his own body when he died on the cross. So that not only will he bear your own sin and pay your sin debt in your place as the substitute to be punished for you, but he will also take of his own perfect righteousness, which you need to go to heaven. And God the Father will see, therefore, that even though you broke the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments and many others, thousands and millions of times, when Christ transfers his righteousness to you, the Father will look upon you as keeping all the commandments, because you get transferred to your account a perfect righteousness which has kept the commandments. And it comes from the perfect record of Jesus himself. He gives you of his righteousness, because all we have is self-righteousness, and God rejects that. But if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you call upon him, believing that he is the only way to heaven, you will be saved.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. Here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Now, we all need to be grounded in the faith in order to have a firm foundation. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it enables us to share God's truth with those who need Jesus. Author Robert Jones has put together a book entitled Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. We're offering it free for the asking. This book will point you to God's Word through a collection of topics with questions and answers to reflect on. It can help you to both establish answers to any spiritual issues for yourself and to share your faith with others. To request your copy of the book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul, absolutely free without any obligations, and that includes shipping, simply request it by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Or by going to our website at firstloveradio.org and click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. And then for those of you who feel more comfortable writing to request your copy, our mailing address is First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We encourage you to come back again next time and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.